There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
I'm Leah. That was... I was thinking about how I was going to make fun of Allie for how labored that intro was, and
I'm sure
I forgot what my role was.
And look, now who is the one who will be made fun of?
That's right, yeah.
The boots Wait. On the other foot.
Both of you really blew it on that intro.
Hey, we sink or swim together. You also blew it by
oh my god. I just observed. Body. I just sat here watching you blow
no,
it.
You die with us, Anne. I do think my cadence of the intro was like a boulder starting to roll downhill. Like, it's like I just kept tripping over myself and like I could feel myself kind of getting faster and faster.
Yeah. And I was like daydreaming, being like, that was such a silly thing. I wonder what jokes I'm about to make about it. And then I was like, oh, they're waiting for me.
Just daydreaming about being mean to your friend. Who hasn't been there? How's everybody doing this week?
I think the last minute and a half will tell you that we're doing pretty good.
I'm full Dar Williams February. The situation is really, really bad here. It is incredibly sub-zero in Minnesota every night. During the day, it gets just above freezing. But in the night, it gets way below freezing. I mean, way below zero. Zero isn't freezing. 32 is freezing because we live in the United States. Anyway... And the only thing that I'm doing that I care about anymore, because it's so cold, I don't want to go outside, I'm depressed, I'm just learning how to darn. And that's the only thing I care about, is my darning, and it's going incredibly badly. It's going really bad. And do you like that I was just like, how are you guys doing? I have a lot that I want to tell you.
I've got some stuff to get off my chest, and it's about darning.
I wanted to say it because I genuinely, it's like, this is a PSA. If you're listening to this and you think that you're someone who might want to darn a beautiful knit sweater that you own someday, you're like, when it gets a hole, I'll darn it. I'm here to tell you, don't wait. Look, that part where you're like, it'll get a hole eventually, darn it now. That's the easiest way to do it. You're going to wish that you'd done it now. Don't wait until it's an actual hole, because that's actually much harder. Wow. It's worse. Act now.
Can we see some in progress photos later?
Yeah. I'll show you. I've had to restart. Basically, I have this sweater. Everyone's going to love this part, so you can cut it if it's too boring. Basically, I have this sweater where there's just holes all around the cuffs. It's this beautiful wool-rich sweater that has little sheep on it. It's so sweet. Holes all around the cuffs. So it's hard to know where to start and stop darning. And I'm trying to learn Swiss darning because that, like, imitates the knitting, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's just such a big piece. I've restarted it, I want to say, like, 11 times. So all I'm doing is starting and restarting my darning and watching SVU. And I think I've watched, I want to say, 5 seasons of SVU this week. It's like from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to bed, which isn't until like 3 a.m., I'm darning and watching SVU. It's really bad. As I say it,
that sounds not so healthy. Not so healthy.
It's such an interesting combination of things, you know?
Would you say it speaks to a well mind, you think?
Well, you know, why don't we check in my office?
I'll keep missing and I'll come see you later. Honestly, if you could help me, I would love that.
Yeah, was it hard to match the yarn to your sweater? Like,
I didn't match it. I'm doing a lovely rust red that will stand out. But the idea is that if you do beautiful darning, you're not mad that people can see it. Although mine doesn't look very beautiful yet.
Right. But you're getting there, yeah.
It's gotten much better, and I'm learning a lot. I'm learning. Some of us can only learn by doing something wrong 1,000 times. And I think some wrestlers could relate to that.
But also I kind of feel like, you know, what is life except to fail at things? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what would you be? The time is going to pass anyway, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. Might as well use it.
This genuinely, I know everyone loves when periodically I say, like, my new philosophy is, but my new philosophy I'm doing, you know how people say, do it scared. Mm-hmm. I am always scared, so I'm always thinking that to myself. Like, okay, I've got to get into doing it scared. But my new thing is actually just do it wrong.
Yeah.
And then redo it if you have to.
Yeah, that has served me well. You know, yeah. I did it wrong a bunch of times, and then I did it right.
Yeah. It's like eventually, statistically, you're probably going to do it right.
Yeah.
So just do it wrong.
Look at this podcast, you know?
I don't think we've ever done this wrong. I think it's been right every week.
Every time someone says they listen to the back catalog, I'm like, that was us doing it wrong.
We I know. Know.
Don't listen to those. Those were the lopsided darning. Don't look at that.
I know. But thank you to those of you who still have enjoyed it. That's really nice. It's nice that you liked our lopsided darning. Thank you. Yeah. And now we do like pretty okay mediocre darning, I think. Most weeks.
Most
we'll
weeks.
See.
Yeah.
I had some trials doing this schedule, girls. But
what's your okay. What's your intoxication situation?
Zero. I have something a little interesting tonight. This I think everyone will enjoy. This is a cup that's been sitting by my bed for about 3 days, and some amount of it is grapefruit pamplemousse LaCroix, and some amount of it is weed seltzer, and we don't know how much of which is which, and it's been sitting by my bed for 3 days. Mwah!
Yum, yum, yum.
And, readers,
and again, the day is February 13th, so that's why this is happening. And it's like 0 degrees out. Let's check the actual temperature.
It's, girls, this is Galentine's Day officially, I think.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
It's 6 degrees with a low of -7 for the night. So that's why this is happening.
Mm.
But happy Galentine's Day.
Happy Galentine's Day to you.
Thank God for friends. Do you guys have anything that you want to share from your lives? Hey, can I induce you to share a little something? Anyone doing anything fun?
No.
They're just shaking their heads at me. They're like, I think you've done quite enough.
It's like, I can't even get into it. I'm going to save it for the medical Patreon.
Save it for the medical Patreon. That's very real. Okay, well, should we just talk wrestling?
Yeah.
Or we could talk about my darning some more. Does that wet anybody's palate? Is that interesting?
Not a no. I do want it. I do want to know what's happening, but
we could just kind of take a pause here and you could grab your sweater and just kind of show it to us on camera.
I literally would do it, except that I think we all know that if I move, my mic will come undone again.
That is true.
But I wish I could. The other thing that I've done, I'll just throw one more thing in here. It's like I'm doing the darning, but actually the thing I was doing, and I still kind of am, I'm doing Fix It February, where you mend something every day in February.
Wow.
So I mended like 6 different pairs of jeans, and I put patches on them. I sewed on new buttons. I got a whole drawer full of jeans that I don't really like any of them, but but I can wear them again.
Wow.
And that's huge.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's legitimately cool.
And I bought myself a new sewing machine, too. And it's February 13th. So, anyway, I'll show you that darning later. And thank you so much for your time. And let's get into the wrestling. Oh, why did I write this? Little Mr. Moxley opened... last week's collision.
I did read that. I loved it. Like I was thinking about like the little miss, you know,
young Master Mox.
Oh, no, the like, series,
the
yeah.
little cartoons yeah, yeah, that yeah. are like Little Miss, yes. like something. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's him. He's a little round boy, little yeah. round boy. That's started... his bald head.
Oh, that's yeah. nice. Nice. I started trying to read his book this past week, but it's I found it almost unreadable. It's very stream of consciousness. I was like, the Young Bucks started at the beginning and they kind of went forward linearly, Moxley.
He did his own audiobook though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, I think so, yeah.
I think but someone I someone we know said it was easier to listen to than it is to read.
Yeah.
So
I'm worried that I wouldn't. He just gets me in a trance so easily.
Yeah.
That don't you feel like 2 minutes in? Maybe I could use him to just kind of like go to sleep. Yeah. not insultingly, he just has a cadence.
No, and like reading it, you're like, oh yeah, I'm not sure this means anything either.
It's very funny, the idea that we're always being like, yeah, he just kind of like, the cadence tricks you into thinking that there's nothing there, but I bet if you read it, there'd be something there. And it's like, no, there's not anything there. All right. Little Mr. Moxley opened last week's collision with an in-ring promo about how he's fed up with stupid Adam Copeland and he's never going to give him a title shot. He said, you don't know a single thing about me, about this place, about being an AEW world champion, so you can take your challenge and stick it up your ass. And then he had a whole thing where he just kept saying, like, but I'm happy to fight you, though. I guess just not for the title. But he was being like, I'll fight you at a Marriott. I'll fight you at a Hyatt Regency. I'll fight you at a Holiday Inn Express. He didn't do that, but I wanted him to. He was kind of, like, shouting and spitting a lot. And then on Dynamite, Adam Copeland and Jay White accosted Marina Shafir backstage. She had the briefcase that we believe to be holding the world title cuffed to her wrist as per usual. They cut it off with shears of some sort and shoved her into a closet. And then they like skedaddled off with it like little bad little boys.
It's had a real Keystone Cop energy from them. I was like, these are silly boys. Like, well, you guys are having too much fun with this. I don't know.
It's a little cartoon plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up that this is not going to end in a Jay White versus Marina Shafir match because it should.
Oh my god. That would be great.
It would be really cool.
So then, later in the show, I guess Marina Shafir, I don't know if they actually locked her into a broom cupboard or if I just invented that in my mind.
No, they shoved her like in a room and they were, they were holding the door shut. They had the briefcase, but it was like handcuffed to her arm, so they had to like use bolt cutters to cut the briefcase off her arm.
Okay, but they didn't actually imprison her after that.
No, I think they just ran off with the briefcase.
All right, well, so she was free but mad, so she attacked Willow, looking very beautiful. And then Cope and Jay White cut a promo on Mox, where they were like, do you want your briefcase? Come see us in the ring at the end of the night.
Maybe they were just like sitting in their car like Max Caster the rest of the night, just like, he'll never find us out here. We're so smart.
And it was just,
did you guys think when they were talking to each other that they had the weirdest we don't belong in the same movie energy?
Absolutely.
Like, I was like, these two men shouldn't exist at the same time.
And well, they both had this, like, giggly, like, energy also where it was, like, they thought it was kind of, they're like, they'll never guess that the two of us are working together. To grab that briefcase, they'll never guess it.
Yeah, they did seem, like, really entertained, but there was something that, so JY opens the promo by saying, oh, Johnny boy. And then I went right to Dirty Dancing. And so I was being like, a lover boy.
How do you call your lover boy?
Which was a great, that really set the mode for me for the rest of the promo. Just confusing. And then Cope turned to Jay White after he finished talking. And Jay White was, one of them's holding the briefcase. And Cope said, you know, switch?
Insane thing to say. Insane. Yeah, absolutely crazy. It's like when people call Orange Cassidy orange, and you're like, you understand that that's not his first name.
That It's not appropriate.
It's not.
Said, you know, Switch, I've carried one of these things a few times in my career. Well, anyway, I think that was a WWE reference.
I think so, too. And that's actually the exact moment that I was like, these men don't have chemistry. Because Jay White
Why
did
would
not
you say
react.
That to Jay White?
Jay White looked at him like, okay, Grandpa, let's take get you back to bed.
Exactly. Okay, that's amazing. Because that I agree. That was the exact moment where I was just like, you don't even understand who you're in a promo with. Who is that for?
And I like couldn't figure out what was happening where I was like, like a title or the briefcase? Like, what are you trying to? And I'm sure our WWE fans will know what that meant, but us and Jay White did not know what that meant.
Us and Jay White. Jay White has never seen a second of WWE. You can tell just from looking at him.
Yeah, the two things we know about Jay White, he's never had sex and he's never seen a second of WWE. I believe, and I can't wait to be told that this is wrong, but from what I've seen around the old IWC, I believe that if you win a title shot at Money in the Bank, you get a briefcase full of gold or something.
Full of
now,
gold.
Allie,
you do get a cash in at Money in the Bank, that's my understanding, yeah.
Allie, why do you know that?
What do you mean?
Have you acquired that information? Have you been watching WWE on the slide? Has James and Rich like awoken something in you?
I've been watching WWE this whole time. I really could be wrong, but I think that it's the analogy is WWE briefcase is to dented clipboard AEW, which is kind of a perfect.
Dented clipboard.
Titanium briefcase versus dented clipboard. I like it here at our garbage promotion, our junkyard dog. Okay. And then they came to the ring later, and Mox came out. Oh, yeah.
They just, again, had this, like, hey, guys, like, giggly, like, grinning energy that was very, like, what are you guys trying to convey here? I don't know. The whole thing, like, tipped over into, like, inadvertent comedy to me. And then, like, Mox came out, like, screaming and mad. And Cope's like, people really want to see this briefcase. Which people do complain about the title being in a briefcase, but I can't access the criticism at all. I'm like, who could care?
No,
like, so the fact that it's on screen now, it's like,
I know people have complained about it, but even when commentary is like, we haven't seen the briefcase in X amount of days, just haven't seen the title. And I'm like, I would have never noticed if you guys didn't point it out to me, I would have, at no point would I be like, and now I wonder where the title is.
It's not especially beautiful. It's not like a beautiful marble statue of Nike that I need to get my eyes on.
If they open the briefcase,
yeah,
and that's what's in there.
That'd be incredible. Boy, Tony Khan, you've got an opportunity here.
What a fucking reveal that would be. The girls asked for, therefore made, beautiful marble bust of Nike. I think I don't have any emotional, I haven't had any emotional reaction to the missing belt. I don't care that we haven't seen it. I'm not stressed about it. I have often felt confusion about why it's in the briefcase. Like, just from a storytelling narrative perspective, I'm like, I don't really understand why the belt is in the briefcase.
I know.
I don't know what that means.
And there's also an aspect of, like, if this was a proper, like, drama TV show, it wouldn't be in the briefcase after all, right? Like, they'd be telling you it is and telling you it is and telling you it is. Finally, you'd get it open and it wouldn't be in there. So, like, part of me keeps being like, well, it's not in there. It's somewhere else. But, like, it's wrestling, so it probably is just in there.
There's something so nonsensical about it that it's like, it does feel like it's a distraction. It's a red herring. Like, mm-hmm. they're drawing our attention to this briefcase because something even weirder has happened to the belt. And then I just thought, like, the belt turned into a person. And that would be a great arc of TV show.
That would be.
That they're like, fuck, the belt turned into a person, so we don't have a belt. Let's just pretend the belt is in the briefcase. You can't see in there, so then nobody has to know. And then
it's like
then
Jay
the question
White is actually
Jay
the White. Belt. Which would explain a lot, I think.
Well, that's cooking on all cylinders. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I'm in a writing workshop with John Moxley, and he brought in his beat poetry about the briefcase, and he keeps reading it and being like, "And so you understand what that means?" And I keep saying, "No, I don't know what the poem is about.
"Let me read it again. I'll just read it again, and then you'll get it." And you're like, "I've heard it like four times."
Then he goes home. You spend the whole session being like, "Mox, like, you do have to say like real words," and you think he gets it. He's like, "Yeah." And then he goes home, and then you all come back next week, and he's like, "Okay, I have a new poem," and you're like, "Hit me. This is gonna be great." And then he says a very incomprehensible thing, and you're like, "Mox, you didn't learn anything." Yeah.
He says, "Once again, the belt is in the briefcase." I say, "Okay, I don't mean to sound foolish, but I don't understand your vision." Well. Anyway, and then Cope had brought his case. I think maybe he felt like, you know, you got a case, I got a case. So he brought his case, and he said, "You all remember Spike, my girl Spike," or whatever he said. Now,
which I did, but I felt like, I don't know that Spike was, like, important enough or memorable enough to need to call back to that. I feel like we could have moved on.
We met Spike once. That's just like, it's a fun callback, but don't act like we have an intimate relationship with her. What I will say, this might come up again. Friends of the pod, Anna and Josh, were over at my place last night watching wrestling with me. We were supposed to be having a crafting night. No crafting really got done, but we did watch wrestling, and we got high. And at this point in the program, Josh was saying, "I have to go home. I need to go home. Please let me go home." And Anna and I were saying, "Wrestling's almost over. Hold on. Wait a minute." And he says, "I got to get Spike out." And Anna said, "What's Spike?" And I said, "Oh, it's his bat." And she goes, "His bat?" And I said, "Yeah, it's just his, like, bat." And she's looking at me horrified. And then it cuts to it, and she goes, "Oh, my God, like a bat. I thought you meant, like, a bat." And I was like, "You thought I meant, like, an animal? Like a bat? You thought that..."
Did she think he was about to do an Aussie? Pull a bat out and bite its head off?
I don't know if she thought that he was going to bite the head off, but she did think that there was an animal in there. And I said, "This is an event that we've gone to before. I've invited you to, like, do you think that I would have told you to go to an event where I thought that they could just release a bat?" Release
me? That bat might have chewed into the briefcase more effectively than Spike the bat did.
It wasn't an ideal tool.
No, as he was hitting it, I was like, I don't think you should have brought Spike back. I feel like if you needed just, like, a blunt instrument, like, the spikes are really inhibiting the...
Yeah, and anyways, I think you'd do way better with, like, some kind of crowbar.
Yeah, or, like, exactly. Just a little lockpick set. Yeah. Surely someone has a lockpick set backstage.
And, I mean, they had bolt cutters earlier in the night. I feel like you could get at it there.
I think we were really humiliated because we put forth that Jay White could be the brains of the operation, and I don't think he helped Cope at all.
No, I think he's a living belt, actually. I think
he's... he's a belt who became a man.
He doesn't know anything. He's only been alive for 6 months or so.
All he knows is that he doesn't want to become a belt again. That's why he's in a feud with Mox.
He probably told Copeland, like, "You, Spike, it'll totally open the briefcase," knowing that it was a terrible idea. And it
was. Because Mox is like, "I need you to be a belt again so I can show off my belt." And Jay White is like, "I'll never be a belt again. I love being a man. This is crazy. Like, I don't understand this thing, but it's amazing."
Are we suggesting that real Jay White is in the briefcase?
I guess I'm kind of retconning AEW, and I'm like, Jay White only debuted.
At the same time that Mox put the belt in the briefcase. Yeah,
put the belt in the briefcase, and 5 minutes later we had a promo from a new guy named Jay White on Dynamite.
I think this one we're gonna have to keep workshopping before we give it to Tony Khan.
You don't think this one's a fully realized idea yet?
I'm crushed. Okay, well, we'll take that noted. I mean, noted. We'll onboard that.
Okay, well, I thought we were kind of blue skying here, but fine, shut it down. Go ahead and shut it down. That's fine. Do you want to say anything about what is, oh, for fuck's sake, about what's going on with, okay, wait, I'll say this. Okay, so Tony, I guess, is like, remembered he has a trios division, so he has trios doing stuff again. So he had this United Kingdom,
Undisputed Kingdom
match, trios, three-way trios on Collision.
Which, by the way, I do think it's bullshit that they're allowed to use the Kingdom's name but aren't letting them be in the faction.
Yeah, it's rude.
Actually, when you put it that way, yeah. Maybe do it different. And after the Undisputed Kingdom won the match, Adam Cole cut this really impassioned promo about how, like, the Death Riders can't be allowed to think they can do whatever they want around here anymore. And it's like, Adam Cole, what do you know? You're not involved in any of this.
Yeah. Adam Cole, stay out of it. We don't need to add you to this mess. That's like, the last thing we need.
I was like, you're basically in witness protection right now. Okay? Like, yeah. It's like, you just need to keep your head down, stay quiet, and don't get taken out by a hit. Anyway, so they did that, and then the Undisputed Kingdom then fought the Death Riders on Dynamite, and they won because Yuta rolled up Kyle O'Reilly. And then, I don't know, some other stuff that I can't recap. The main thing that we're getting to is that, Leah, do you want to talk about, you had a note about what's going on with Yuta, which I'm very confused about.
What's going on with Yuta is, like, really the thing. Because, like, weren't they sort of telling us a story where, like, Yuta reluctantly joined the Death Riders and he was kind of, like, not entirely drinking Mox's Kool-Aid, but then he did a low blow at Dynamite and he seemed really happy about it. So I think he's just a regular cult member now.
Commentary literally said during the match, I don't remember the verbiage, but they basically said, and Yuta's being held prisoner by the Death Riders. Like they straight out were like, this boy is being abused.
I don't think anyone told Yuta that. Like, at no point was Yuta
he hasn't been
giving.
Performing that.
No. I mean, Mark Davis is doing a better job.
Wow. Damning. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, they've been like kind of like long, slow burn of Yuta not being happy with the Death Rider stuff, but then it just seems to have been mostly dropped.
I think that they are slow burning so much of Yuta's entire character development that you're like, well, is it so slow that actually the fire went out?
They're like, oh, he's been cooking on the back burner all day. We got a real good stew going. And then you go into it's like, why does it smell like stew though? You go into the kitchen, you're like, oh, cold. Just cold meat.
Just cold. I mean, Danny Garcia's had like six personalities in the time that Yuta's like joined Blackpool.
I'm not like mega mad about, I'm not mad at all really about it, but I am very confused. And I am like, if you guys are slow burn telling it, Yuta, I need you like every week before you come out for your segment, I need you to look in the mirror and say like, I'm the saddest man alive. Like, I wish that this, to God, this weren't happening to me. I will be forced to do things that will stay with me for the rest of my life, and I will never cease to regret. Like, just get into character a little bit about it, because I'm not seeing it. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Mariah May had a quote-unquote glamorous exhibition match on Collision. She came out to the ring with her belt and with a big old tote bag, which I love to immediately see a prop. She fought a jobber who looked like Toni Storm, either she chose to fight her because she looked like Toni Storm, or as Tony Schiavone suggested, Mariah had convinced her to dress up as Toni Storm, which was psychosexually intoxicating to me.
Honestly, like, either way, wow, we're doing some drama.
It's like the things that these women are trying to do to each other's minds is so good.
And honestly, like, if you think of Mariah being like, I'm so upset, like, Tony keeps messing with me, so I'm just gonna get someone who looks like Tony and like beat them up real bad, you know, just to make myself feel better. It's like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
They are in a world of mirrors and doubles, and as my old professor would say, lots of fugitive subjectivity. Okay, they are in a wonderland, and that is really something to behold for me.
Yeah, yeah, practically Shakespearean, you know, just twins and mix-ups and people dressed
pretty much. Mariah won the match, and then she went over to her little bag and she got her props out. And the jobber, who does have a name that I didn't seem to write here, was just lying there. And so Mariah put a little black kimono on her, and she smeared lipstick all over her face. Should we even comment on this? Should we comment on this discourse?
It's funny enough that we should.
I guess my understanding is that some male podcasters, one of them, was really upset about this and was like, she put toxic nail polish all over a woman's face, which is so irresponsible. Is that
right? Like, yeah, it was like, that's hazardous to jobbers. And it was like...
Yeah, and his co-host was like, I don't think it was nail polish. And he was like, it was nail polish. And the guy was like, all right. Clearly was not nail polish, because she put it on her mouth was your first clue, and then your second clue was like the applicator, buddy.
Yeah. And it's just like common sense. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it would be crazy. It would be weird if it were nail polish.
Yeah. No one would do that.
No one would do that.
And commentary said it was lipstick.
They said it was lipstick, and it was liquid lipstick. And I just looked at it with my eyes and thought,
right. Mm-hmm. It was the same color that Tony always uses, and it was being applied in the sloppy way that she likes to wear it. And so maybe your mind could put some things together there and say, oh, just must be lipstick.
Use a little logic. And you could think, you know, it's fine to not be acquainted with the liquid lipstick. But, you know, if I saw, like, I don't know, what kind of male hygiene products are there that I'm not very familiar with? I might maybe ask somebody if I got confused about it.
Ball deodorant or something.
Yeah, if I saw some ball deodorant on TV and I was like, wow, why are they doing that? I might ask a man, you know?
I'd be really upset that I was seeing it first.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it on television.
Why am I seeing it?
Do you remember when we got that pitch email from Manscaped?
Wow. We should have taken up that sponsorship opportunity.
I left it in our inbox for a very long time, because every time I enjoyed going to see it and just being like, hey, it's Manscaped. We're interested in an ad read. Okay.
I doubt very much that you are.
I don't think you're going to hit your target demographic here.
I think that the lesson here, we know we just love a little moral, a little lesson. For Manny in the IWC, is like, sometimes just stop and say, like, am I looking for a reason to be mad? Am I just wanting to be mad right now? Maybe I need to go to the batting cage or something.
Hey, that's really speaking to them where they're
that's
at.
Smart.
Good job.
That's nice. Yeah.
I'm bridging the gap.
You're being culturally sensitive.
Mm-hmm. That's me. Okay, so then Luther came out. He had this covered tray. He kind of distracted Mariah. He unveiled that the shoe that Mariah beat Tony with was on the tray, and she was really mad, and she lunged at Luther, and he went away, and then she went to go back to the jobber, and they'd done a swap. An illusion had occurred, and now it is not a jobber. It's Tony Storm, the real woman, and Mariah is shocked and terrified. Very scared.
The look on her face is priceless, because she froze like a deer in headlights.
Yeah, and she skedaddled into the crowd and tried to get away, and I think she did get away. It's hard to remember all the things that happened in the crowd this week. We've been doing very good crowd work. I think she got away, and then Luther put Tony on his shoulders and carried her around, which I loved.
It's great.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I kind of am partial to the idea that, like, Mariah dressed the jobber up as Tony to, like, get in Tony's head, but then Tony outwitted her and got into Mariah's head. And it's just right now, like, in ways we don't even see, there's escalating, like, psyching each other out.
Yeah, it's a real, like, you can't out-double Toni Storm. She's way ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and I think that's what I'm really enjoying about this incarnation of Toni Storm is that, like, she's just, like, the way that she's going after Mariah is so much more interesting than, so I think, some of the other feuds that we've seen. Yeah. It's not just I want to beat her up. It's like I want to destroy her from the inside out.
Yeah, the way that she destroyed me from the inside out. Yeah, it's like the way that they're continuing. You know, it's like what happened before, like, it still matters to them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so much more interesting.
I think that they've hurt each other a lot and they're hurting each other a lot. But I also think that pain feels a little good to them. I think they might be a little hooked on it, if you know what I mean.
This is how love feels to them.
This is how love feels. Speaking of love. We did get two promos, one from Mariah, one from Toni. So Mariah had a promo.
Okay, it's not a nothing. Toni promo. If you call it Toni promo, a Tono. It's not nothing. Let's not skip over it.
You're right. Let's keep it in the mix. Mariah had a promo on Dynamite where she said... to Toni, she said, "You never did know how to write an ending, did you? You never know when to stop. Beating you in Australia is not the worst thing I can do." Wow. I'm listening. I'm so interested. I'm excited. And then Toni had, she was on, what is it called?
Close up.
I seem to have just called it a movie theater sit down. Like, that's a kind of a classic type of interview. The classic movie theater sit down with Renee, where, I mean, I don't know, what didn't she do in this? This was so good.
Mm-hmm. It was incredible. When Renee was like, "Was this your plan to come all along to come back to this?" And Toni was like, "Yes, it was my plan to get my heart broken and have to like go off and like recover and then come back. Like, yeah, everything's going according to plan, Renee."
Yeah, it was incredible to say that. Like, it was, yes, it was my plan, like, to have my, to fall in love and, like, you know, it's just like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I think she said something. What did she say? She was like, to fall in love, real love or something. Oh, and give my heart and soul to a woman that I loved with all my heart. All the while she was secretly plotting against me. Yeah, Renee, that's exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much. And she also did a little, I mean, she's great because she's doing so much stuff that's incredibly funny, but also is in the world that of wrestling that she's created is just like very psychologically correct. So she did this whole, you know, thing about like how she ended up like deciding to pretend to be her old self. Mm-hmm. And she had this whole thing about like, I'm in my closet and I'm looking at all my things and I'm throwing all my clothes on the floor. And I'm like remembering like my 14-year-old self who just wanted to make it. And then it dawned on me that the problem was way longer and way deeper than the past year. And it was like, this whole thing is quite funny. And also that's very real.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. It's like she's taking everything that her character has been through very seriously while also like saying the funniest stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. You know, like when she was like, "Yes, it was a dark time. All I ate was pork, seltzer, and Pepto-Bismol." Like, oh my God. That's incredible. What a line.
Frankly, quite relatable. I mean, I feel that. So they're just the MVPs. I guess by the time this airs, Grand Slam will have occurred. So
yeah.
You tell us what happened.
I know. Mm. I'm really excited. I hope that they're listening to us talk about this and being like, "Girls, something crazier is going to happen to you. Come to the future."
We want to be there. We want to join you there, but we will never change our recording time.
So we can't do it. It just works too well. So we just...
We're locked in, yeah.
We're eternally prattling about things that we are hoping to see, and by the time you're listening, you've already seen them. That's cool.
I know, and it's actually gotten, I think, more and more egregious over the past few months, because I do think they're actively trying to make Collision more of an A show. So right. Now...
So the phrase Collision isn't, like, an active insult the way everyone treats it, like, for this Australian show.
Yeah. But that does mean that I think every single week there's something that we say like, oh, I wish someone would do this, and then it happens on Collision. And it's like, okay, well, we didn't know. We didn't know you were going to do it. I'm sorry.
Like, but we can't change our recording time. It's just not,
what are we gonna do?
Not possible.
Our lives are built around this recording time.
I wouldn't know what day of the week it was. So.
I have enjoyed the last like couple months has been like, I hope this happens and it happens on Collision, or somebody responds to us and been like, they do that all the time in Japan. Like when we when we had the thing where we were like, people should get tag team married. They should like literally do vows. And like somebody was like, yeah, that happened in New Japan, and like linked us to like the vows. That's amazing. Well, they really, no wonder the Young Bucks won't come home. So, seems really there, good there.
Over there in the promised land where everything is just the way we want it to be. Well, we'll get to that later. Anything else you want to say about Mariah and Tony?
Nope. So they're killing it.
Yeah. Great jobs. Great job, girls. Great job, girls.
I will say, I'm sorry, I just thought of it. I did enjoy One Nation Radio trying very hard to respectfully talk about how many boners they got about Tony dressed as Mariah.
They were, you know what? There's no, it's good to be respectful, but same. You know?
Yeah.
Same. They look, hey, they look good. Let's move on to Thunder Rosa. I don't think any of this is, I was kind of live blogging Collision in our schedule while watching it, so I'm sorry for things that I might say that don't really matter as a result of that. Thunder Rosa fought Penelope Ford on Collision and won. She had this segment where she like, Thunder Rosa saw Megan Bain and was like, hey, let's hang, and Megan Bain didn't say anything. I don't think we've heard her say a single word yet, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then Megan Bain came out after the Thunder Rosa Penelope Ford match. And, like, is she aligned with Penelope Ford? Are they buddies?
I don't know.
They might just
no
be.
No idea.
I don't know why I'm trying to describe this. I wish I hadn't started. Just that Penelope, she distracted Thunder Rosa. So Penelope Ford beat up Thunder Rosa, and then Megan Bain beat up Thunder Rosa. So they are not in a great place right now. And then on Dynamite, Megan Bain had a match where she squashed a jobber. And then as she was leaving, Chris Statlander was coming out for her match versus Penelope Ford. And so they exchanged a long look of like, you're a really strong muscle girl, I'm a really strong muscle girl, I wonder which of us is the strongest. Which I didn't, I liked that very much.
Yeah.
And then Megan Bain, no, she's gone, then Chris beat Penelope. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
We've now seen Megan Bain for a few weeks. Would you like to weigh in? You want to give her a rating?
I'm a little scared to offend some of our dear friends who are big Bane heads.
Bane heads.
Yeah. I'm like, the last last thing the women's division needed is another person who's very good at wrestling and has no personality. I'm so sorry. Yeah. She's very beautiful, and I'm excited to see her wrestle a real match. Like, I think her against Chris Statt is going to be very fun to watch.
Yeah.
I can't say that her slowly walking into the ring with a gigantic heavy headdress that it looks like she's terrified is going to fall off at any given moment has been like that compelling. But hey.
Yeah. I think I saw someone saying she's kind of just the new Camille, which I was like, that's kind of true. Yeah, it's like I really want to like her, and she is very beautiful, but she has not shown me even a little personality.
It's only good to be the new Camille if it means that you've decided to become a lady knight to
a woman who
could easily defend herself but would rather have you defend her. Gay.
If Camille had debuted on her own, she would have been nothing to me. The only reason that I loved Camille was because she was standing with Mercedes. I'm like, Megan Bain needs to pick, like, she needs to figure out, like, who's she's going to give her kerchief so she can, like, wrap it around her arm before she fights. Like, we need this.
Yeah. She needs to learn what Will Ospreay has now known for some time, which is that if you find yourself lost in the world, you need someone to stand next to. You just need someone to stand next to.
If Megan Bain went on a little friendship hunt, well, now I'm in.
I'm in, yeah. If she was wandering around being like, who's going to be my friend?
Who's going to be my friend? But I want her to be wandering around like, who will be like my beautiful princess in a tower, and I her squire who stands by the entrance to the tower. Yeah. Did I say that? I don't know. I just had kind of a vision in my head that went a little sideways.
Yeah, you can't have a Wardlow by themselves. Haven't we learned that lesson by now?
My
yeah.
God.
Is he gone? As soon as we, I don't think so.
We haven't seen him in quite some time, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his problem is that he tried to go solo. He's a man that needs to stand behind mm-hmm. his chosen, you know.
Yeah.
It was a double problem because he tried to go solo, but then he also tried to go solo with that that shtick where he was like, I'm a lone wolf, but in a way where, like, he thought it was cool, but you were like, if you were saying it, like, and I'm really sad about it, that would be really fun. That'd be sexy. Like, I'm a lone wolf because everybody fucking hates me, I guess. I don't know why.
Men great, all think but... women want them to be a lone wolf in a cool way, and women want them to be a lone wolf in a sad way.
Women want you to want to not be a lone wolf. Women want you to want to have a best friend who mm-hmm. you like hanging out with. Women want you to have friends. We're yeah. trying to solve the male loneliness epidemic. You're the ones who aren't cooperating. Okay.
We're setting you up on play dates. We're saying, yeah. like, hey, isn't there anybody at work that you kind of connect to?
Someone just, you don't have to know that you have a lot in common at first, but just someone yeah. where you can feel it's fun to talk to them. That's all.
Why don't you call your old college roommate, buddy?
Oh, Lord. Okay. I don't know what section we're in. Megan Bain. Yeah. Well, Megan, maybe we won't humiliate you by giving you a rating right now. And we'll just let you... Hey, we're just going to wait and see if maybe on Collision Grand Slam Brisbane, Australia, you start looking for a friend or a princess or a lover or something. Just go stand next to someone and we'll see yeah. if we like who you choose.
Megan Bain, let's just say you have a lot of room to grow, and that's an opportunity.
Yeah.
You
know? Not height-wise, you seem to be very tall, no. and I do like sometimes when you're walking mm-hmm. and you look like you're the huge Barbie at the beginning of the Barbie movie. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish they would, maybe that was like a gimmick where she would be like trying to make a friend, but she's too tall, and she's like, she accidentally stomps her life. Friend.
It's so scary, but we get through it because we love you. We just work through it because we love you. Just intimidating.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Okay. Max Caster cut a backstage promo on Collision where he explained that a man is better than a person.
That was crazy. When he was like, hey, man, you're not a man, you're a... And I was like, he's going to say boy. Obviously, that's the end of that sentence. He was like, a person.
Hang
person.
Okay, strange. Max Asher, be careful. We're so happy with you right now, but that yeah. was borderline. That wasn't, I didn't love that. But it was an extremely funny promo because he just had this little whine in his voice. And he says, you know, Henry, he just got angry at me. All I wanted to do was my interview. And he was just taking a long time.
Max Caster honestly like has such good like naturalistic delivery, and everything he's saying is hilarious, and it's just like, boy, he's on a winning streak right now mm-hmm. with me.
When he is not trying as hard as he can to be as offensive as he can, he's an extremely funny, mm-hmm. extremely beautiful man.
When he's just medium offensive and not yeah. really offensive, that's the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. When you're just like, that's a guy that needs to be shoved into a locker.
Yeah. He's just like, he's just a, it's good when he's a guy that you're just like, okay, you shouldn't say that, but you're kind of smiling at it. You're like, oh, all right.
He's just the dirtbag you love. You can't help it.
One of these days, I'm going to kick him off my couch, but
not today.
Not today.
So he was talking to, Alicia Tout. Is that who that was?
I think so.
And he reminded her that he has an open challenge that's ongoing, and he was like, and Hangman could come fight me. And so he's welcome to come fight me. And then so on Dynamite, Hangman did. And Max Caster immediately looked like, I've made a huge mistake. I've done something a bit cavalier. It's like, I just didn't think this would happen.
The way his music hit, Hangman's music hit, and Max Caster just kept going, oh no, oh no, 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 no.
And then he ran and hid in the crowd, and the crowd was ratting him out like crazy again. It was so funny.
It was
sitting in some guy's seat, like, everyone be quiet.
It was great crowd work. It's interesting. I wonder if, you know how last week when he was in the crowd, everyone was pointing at him? I mean, it's not, it must have happened before, but it's not, like, exactly what usually happens, right?
I don't feel like, feels like last week they saw that happening. They were like, oh, we should do that again and more so, you know, which is perfect. I loved it.
Very, very smart. It was extremely funny. So Hangman chased him, went into the crowd and just kind of, like, herded him back to the ring. And the match started, and then Hangman just murdered him. Just immediately just brutally
so
murdered
hard.
Him.
So
really, it was just really sexy.
So perfect, because it's like, I am in love with everything Max Caster is doing. He said, I have a trademark right here signed by your precious United States government, which is so funny.
It's really the tone that I needed at this time, to be honest. I was like, yeah, sing it, sister.
And he's just so satisfied. It's so satisfying to watch him get bullied and murdered. It's like, that's all you want. It just feels so good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so great for him, for his, it's great that he openly immediately performs like, fuck, I fucked up. I'm really scared. And then that afterwards, when the danger has passed, he just bops up, brushes himself off, and is like, and I'm actually fine. I've been fine this whole time. Don't worry about it.
I know. He's just, like, so gleefully, like, participating in his own humiliation. And the crowd was booing him like crazy when he was talking before Hangman came out, too. And
he was
looked,
grinning.
Yes, really pleased. And it was like, yeah, everything you're doing is perfect. Don't change
working.
A thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing work. What did you guys think about... What do you think about... So he had this interaction with Hangman. Maybe we should do this in the next part. Okay, we'll do the next part, and then we'll kind of circle back on what's going on with Hangman. Oh, but I do have a note here that we should just discuss that they both have really beautiful bodies. And I do think we should say it respectfully. Yeah. Two of the absolute best bodies in the biz.
It was always really hard when Max Caster was on his worst behavior, because we kept being like, he shouldn't have said that. And I hated that he said that. He did look beautiful, though. Yeah. He shouldn't have said that.
Amazing.
So I'm really enjoying being
bodies.
I'm really enjoying being in a better place where I'm like, he's doing a good job and I want to nail him.
It's nice to be able to enjoy the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
For March, should we do like a March Madness bracket of the top bods in the company? Because I feel like him, Hangman, Swerve, Mox, like,
I love that.
It'd be fun to sit down and make a little list.
Make a little bracket?
Seed them. We can seed them.
And then like every me, but I like it.
Every week we have to talk through the matchup and like decide who wins, but we don't get to move forward into the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Wow.
That's a little project for me. I'm going to take that down as a follow-up.
Amazing. And I can't wait to get a little check-in on that in a couple of weeks.
Action.
I wish you guys could see her right now, because she is kind of like bouncing. Like, she just got so happy.
Love an action item.
Okay, so also on Dynamite, Renee interviewed MJF backstage about his match versus Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes also had a promo at some point, but I didn't recap. I'm really sorry, Dustin. I'm sure it was fine.
He has decided to scream all of his promos, and I'm going to kill him. He's got to stop it. I don't like it
much.
I can't believe that you're not going to read word for word the fact that, once again, he screamed, I'm the last of my kind.
Every time he says it, I just think of that Mountain Goats song, and I think of my funny joke that nobody else really liked, where I was like, oh, he should be coming out to that song, but... You know, about the extinct animals, Deuteronomy. And I think that would be really funny. Nobody liked it.
Well, because it means that I would have to watch Dustin Rhodes come out. So ultimately, it's not what I want.
I have to watch it anyway. I'm a captive audience. We have a podcast. Like, what do you mean? I'm going to see it, so I should at least enjoy it. And John Darnielle loves wrestling, so it's a perfect synergy there. Maybe he could do kind of like a metal, a banging metal version of it for Dustin Rhodes, the last outlaw slash a little tiger alone in its cage about to die and make a species go extinct.
Let's slide into John Darnielle's DMs.
Hop on in there.
As representatives of AEW. Anyway.
Yeah, like, we can get you in touch with Tony. Don't you worry about that.
The things that we've wanted to be in people's DMs for recently, it's like it really runs the gamut of people and of ideas. Mm. Okay. All right. So she's interviewing Renee. Renee is interviewing MJF. Picture it in your mind's eye. And he's promoing on Dustin Rhodes. And then the interview gets interrupted by Hangman, who barges on screen and is so worked up, I guess by Max Caster, which fully adds up. It just goes full caveman, and he just goes, out. I said out. My interview, you get out.
And I love this, like, thread that we're working on lately where it's like, Renee has limited time, and everyone's kind of waiting for their time with Renee.
Waiting for Renee.
Mm. Ooh.
I love it, and because Renee is so good at selling it, too, where it's like her vibe is just like, I don't know. But especially because she and Hangman do have, like, I'm like, they have a special relationship because of his relationship to her husband. Like, his vibe a little bit was like, I need to talk to somebody who understands me, and I guess it can't be Swerve Strickland, so I guess it's going to be Renee.
At least Renee knows how bad I want to bone her husband or telling her constantly.
But it was her vibe was a little bit like, we really don't have an interview scheduled. As if you want a little therapy, we could go get some coffee in the cafeteria. And
the vibe is like on a sitcom or something when someone barges into a psychiatrist's office and is like, I need an appointment. I need therapy right now. And they're like, I'm actually in the middle of another session. Is this an emergency? Yes, out. It is.
Get out. Okay, so then MJF and Hangman went back and forth a little bit. MJF said, he said, listen, I don't know what's going on with you. Do you have a crush on me, bud? Which was pandering, but I didn't mind it. I said, okay, that's fine. You can say that.
That is the one thing. You know how we were saying that MJF's always cheating off of other people's homework? If he wanted to cheat off of some homoerotic homework, I wouldn't be so mad.
Well, he's tried to do it before. He tried to do it with Danny Garcia, didn't he? And we were like, well, we could tell it was inauthentic eroticism.
Yeah, that's true. We were like, this eroticism doesn't come from the heart. It's not your own personal eroticism. This is Danny Garcia's eroticism. Yeah. So, but this was actually MJF being a little jealous of Hangman's crush on multiple other people, which I thought felt a little more authentic. I mean, it was pandering, it was fun.
For MJF to, like, be having a thing inside where he's like, and why don't I have a fucking nemesis who wants to burn my house down? I only have Adam Cole.
Not good enough for a nemesis? Yeah, I only have Adam Cole.
Like, you know he's not going to burn your house down. Yeah. So he said, you got a crush on me 4 weeks in a row. I'll be honest, you smell great. I had no idea Jack Daniels came out with a cologne. Hangman just said, it's been 5 years. That's the best you've got.
Brutal. Perfect. Oh, love it.
Perfect response.
A beautiful little lampshade hung on MJF's head. And so MJF gives this little speech where he's like, oh, sorry, that wasn't high class enough for you. Let's try this. Like, whatever this is, and he's pointing to Hangman's Angry Caveman deal. He goes, it's not you. You don't have the stomach for it. And deep down, I think you know that. Week in and week out, I watch you question every little decision you make like a lost puppy. You've lost your friends and sanity because you want a little apology. You're a joke. Really?
Now, that is MJF trying. Mwah.
Yeah. You lost your friends and your sanity because you want an apology? Like, that is such a good, mean thing to say. I think, like, this whole thing, it was like, oh, right. MJF can be good at this. He definitely, like, has done it in the past and is doing it now. And then also it's like when you have a character where Hangman is, like, very psychologically complex and past events keep impacting him, and he's like at a specific point in a journey that gives the opponent a lot to work with in terms of burning them. Yeah. Whereas when you have these little flat characters that don't do anything, it's much harder.
Right.
Yeah. So it was really beautiful.
I mean, it was so great to call out, like, I watch you question every little decision you make, because it is like Hangman has done bad things in the past year. He's done fucked up things, but it's true that the thing that's going to get to him is to be like, you don't know who you are, because he is so messed up about that. Yeah. He's like, I want to be a monster. I am a monster. I want to be a monster. I don't want to feel regret about things I've done. I don't want to feel guilt. Like, I want to be uncomplicatedly bad. And MJF is like, you never will be able to be, because your brain doesn't work that way. Your brain doesn't work that way. And it's kind of sad to watch you try to be uncomplicatedly bad, and it just hurts you more.
Right. And I mean, the thing is that, like, you could, I don't know if they're going to, but you really could dive into something where MJF recognizes that Hangman, it can't be uncomplicatedly bad, but MJF can. But what MJF wanted was that one face turn that didn't work out. And it's like, MJF is never going to be able to instinctively know what the right thing is to do the way Hangman does. So it is kind of like a little bit of a yin and yang here.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the sexiest thing of all. Mm-hmm. When you find the kind of two compatible problems, like the framing that makes people like fucked up in a way where they can really get at each other, that's a feud. Hey, baby, now we got a feud going. And this stove is on for this one. Yeah. It is getting hot, hot, hot.
Everyone's in the kitchen doing their damn best.
Yes. Yeah. You love to see it. Hard work. You love to see it.
As a podcast, that's what we respect the most.
We want to see you try, and we're going to tell you the truth about how it went. Yeah. But you're always going to get a better grade if you tried than if you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. And it's really like MJF, his vulnerability, what he always wants is people to love him because he's so insecure. And Hangman gets that from the crowd, even though like his relationships have that. And MJF, you know, did do a little bit, and it was a little too work shooty for me. But actually, I think it might work as a whole, where it's like if Hangman can be jealous of MJF being able to be bad without feeling regret, but MJF is sort of jealous of Hangman.
Hangman has been loved by almost everybody who's gotten to know him, and he can't accept that love. He can't accept it from the crowd. He can't accept it from his friends. He can't accept it. Whereas MJF never really gets offered that love in the same way, or genuinely at least.
No. Right. Well, he's always...
It's like one time, and it was Adam Cole, and it went bad.
Who betrayed him. Right.
Yeah.
So he was the face, actually, guys. He actually was the face.
Yeah. He only... MJF made him betray him, really. So.
Yeah. Well, MJF is always... I mean, MJF has that great damage of, like, he's pushing people away before they can push him away, but they are going to push him away. And Hangman is pushing people away before they can push him away, but they don't want to push him away. They're like, we're trying to kiss you. We're trying to kiss you on your little forehead and say you did a good job. And he's like...
Every man who's ever met Hangman is trying to lock it down, and I don't know why I can't find the right person. You're leaving a trail of people behind you, and we're like, I have marriage papers right here.
While Hangman is just like, I'm the last outlaw. It was a really interesting and good setup to have. So the Maxcaster Hangman scene/match open Dynamite. And it was interesting because Max Caster was being a bad little boy, and the crowd was having a great time booing him. And they were really excited to cheer. Oh, maybe that wasn't then. This is what I was going to get. Oh, guys, I got really turned around. Okay, hold that thought, and let's get into this next part, and then we'll come back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so still later on Dynamite. MJF fought Dustin Rhodes for a long time, and won. And then afterwards, he kept beating up Dustin Rhodes. And Hangman's music hits, and Hangman comes out to save Dustin Rhodes. I mean, he did save Dustin Rhodes, but I think he was... I couldn't remember if Dustin Rhodes has given him, like, a rousing speech or anything recently that I should have remembered, or if it's just, like, MJF really worked him up, which I think is it.
I think it was just MJF, although, of course, so many old men have given so many pep talks, it's hard to
does feel bad about Christopher Daniels, so maybe it's like he's a little part of him saw another old man and was like, maybe I should save him. Maybe I can't let this squirrel die. But he can't acknowledge that, probably. I think mostly it's like MJF got him mad, so it's like easy to go out and be mad at someone. And so he goes out to the ring to be mad at MJF, and they do a very long kissing pose, and then they get into a big brawl, and security comes out with great alacrity. They speed on out there, many, many, many men, to break them up. Who men was there?
Jerry Lynn.
Thank God Jerry Lynn was there.
We say that Jerry Lynn was there because we love to look at Jerry Lynn.
Mm-hmm. And that's our old man. Well, Destin Chuck Taylor was there.
Destin Chuck Taylor.
Dreen Bamager posted a GIF of that and was like, Chuck Taylor returned to TV and we didn't even notice. And I checked the quote tweets and every quote tweet was like, what do you mean didn't notice? It was pretty much the only thing I noticed.
Literally like, no idea what happened in this brawl because I was just like, there he is again, there he is.
It's like, we were alerted before the show by spoilers that he would be there. We made popcorn because he would be there. And the second security started coming out, we said, great, the Dustin show is on.
At that point, MJF and Hangman were nothing to us. All we were focused on was the tallest man in the world. He was taller than every other security guard and also ineffective.
Didn't it feel so good, like, after years, to finally again be able to say, who's got eyes on Dustin?
Was so good. It was like, finally. Did we say when we were watching the Women's Royal Rumble, we were reminiscing about all the battle royales we watched with, and we're always looking for Dustin. And Allie was like, I wish Dustin were here. In the Women's Royal Rumble? Yes.
And then that's our new thing is that when we just really want to see someone, we're like, God, I wish they were in the Women's Royal Rumble. We're like, that's really for everyone we love. That's a fun joke that makes sense. So they brawled all through the crowd, MJF and Hangman and Dustin Chuck Taylor.
Dustin Chuck Taylor standing a safe distance away from the brawl.
No.
Kind of supervising the brawl. Just making sure the brawl was going okay.
he's just like watching to watch. He's just having fun. So security dragged Hangman away eventually. MJF came back to the ring, really worked up, grabbed Mike, cut a little promo being like, oh, you're all chanting at us to fight. Well, I would fight him, but I guess we can't because your boy sucks and he's afraid of me because he's a gutless coward and he won't come here and fight me. And as commentary pointed out, perhaps emboldened by the knowledge that that security were actively dragging Hangman out of the building, but he should have known that a Hangman can't be dragged where he don't want to be dragged. So Hangman bursts back out, back in the ring. Security's back. Every security man piles back into the ring on top of Hangman and MJF, except our
Dustin,
son. Except our
was
son.
Hilariously standing at the edge of the ring, slapping the apron once every 15 seconds. As if, like, sometimes when I'm tired or, like, I'm in bed and my cats are, like, starting to fight, I'll slap the bed and go, stop it.
It was really the slapping the apron that's like, Dustin, you're not seconding the brawl. You're not, like,
it was on autopilot. It was complete muscle memory. He's just like, I'm out here. I'm near the ring. Probably I'm supposed to go, OC, you got this.
God. He's like, listen, they can't teach that in wrestling school, okay? No. To show up and do nothing and win absolute praise from your fans.
The character work he was doing out there.
Character work.
It's like, that's our boy. That's a journey. That's like, an emotional journey.
Everyone's like, he did nothing. We're like, that's our Dustin.
And that's a consistent character.
He hasn't changed a bit.
He's alive. He's breaking up brawls. He's not trying at all.
He's wearing a shirt that doesn't fit correctly at all.
It doesn't fit at all.
Pants that also don't fit correctly, but in the opposite way. So it's an amazing tableau. And you know why he's doing that? Because he doesn't want us to look. He says, I wish you would stop commenting.
I don't
want
fans.
He's like, and yet you still did 10 minutes on me alone in the middle of your stupid podcast.
And we always will. Mm-hmm. And we always will. If you're on screen, Baby, you're the show. You're the star of the show. You're our king. So I can't wait to see him in this feud board. The thing that I was going to comment on before that was going to be smarter than our Dustin talk, maybe. So Max Caster, Hangman, open the show. I'm having a lot of trouble for some reason keeping these names straight.
Is it Max Caster, Hangman, mysterious weed seltzer?
No, I haven't even barely had any. Look at this. I'm going to have to really be working on this afterwards because it can't stay by the bed another 3 days, you know? It's now or never. Max Caster and Hangman open the show. And Max Caster is like bad boy. And I think the crowd was like, Hangman is doing really good at squashing the bad boy. They're rooting for Hangman. They're pointing at Max Caster like, come get him. So he has a little face treatment at the beginning, angry. And then later, when he gets into this thing with MJF, he, again, the crowd was, like, really hyping him up. Like, go, you know, it's like they're excited about him. And MJF had that line where he's like, and these dumbasses believe in you when they should believe in me. It's like the whole setup is really interesting and good from a perspective of, like, okay, you're shifting his character. You're doing something to Hangman right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in a really nice way, too, where it's like, oh, he's starting to have these regrets. The crowd is with him. And it's like, of course you can't stay, like, white hot angry forever. You know, you burn his house down, and then it's like 6 months later, and you just start feeling kind of empty inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's face turn city, baby.
Mm-hmm. They've been playing it really nicely.
I do think it adds up for him to, like, have this huge explosion with Swerve that fills him with so much righteous anger. And then that leaves him with, like, a hole that he's trying to fill. And he eventually, like, tries to do the same thing with Christopher Daniels, right? Like, that he's like, I'm going to do this big, brutal violence and it's going to make me feel better. But actually, it just made him feel even worse. And, like, that's the rock bottom that he's, like... He's like, I'm up at night thinking about this, and it's letting all the doubts in. And now MJF is saying meaningful things to me that I don't want to be hearing.
Yeah. It's like Max Caster was great. You can be mad at him and feel great about it, except it can't last long enough. You squash him and it's over, and that's all there is for you.
Right. It's like you ate all your popcorn, like, but you still need to have dinner, you know? What was the other thing that I was going to say was about Hangman? Fuck, guys, not again. I don't know. I thought it was smart, but it's gone. So we'll never know. We'll never fucking know. MJF threw a beer on a guy who loved it. Loved getting that beer on him.
He was so happy. Because I got scared for a minute where I was like, oh, is that a good idea? But then the guy's face was, like, delighted.
Yeah.
I remember what I was going to say. It was that Hangman, I love thinking about how bad it has been for Hangman that he killed Christopher Daniels, and Christopher Daniels was just kind of like, okay, bud, you killed me, and I guess there's nothing I can do about that, and I just wanted you to be happy, but you know, I hope you are someday. That's the worst thing anyone could have said to him. Like, he's like, why didn't you fuck me up? Why didn't you tell me you hate me? Tell me you hate me. Tell me you hate me.
Right. Like, you should have told me that I'm irredeemable and I can't make anything of myself, and you should have burned my life down because that's all I'm good for. Like, you, like, there should have been something. You should have said there's no saving me, but you said the opposite, that you hope that I save myself, and that's awful.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's going to stick in the craw.
Not for me. It's really good for me. It's great to watch. Anything else you want to say about MJF, Max Caster, Hangman, or Dustin Rhodes? Or Dustin Chuck Taylor. My God. I'm so sorry, Dustin.
This just could not be going better. This is, like, everything I could have hoped for from MJF and Hangman, which is so encouraging after MJF has been such a bummer for so long.
I know. It was funny to have, because Anna and Josh haven't watched wrestling with me in a while. I mean, probably at least a year or two. And so they were really excited, and we were talking about something, and then when that Hangman MJF thing started, everyone just went silent, and they just, like, were watching, you know, glued to the TV. And afterwards, Anna was like, that was great. That was awesome. Like, he did so good. And I was like, yeah, it's the best thing he's done in years. He's really trying this time. People have been really bad at him, actually. In a lot of trouble, but it was very funny. It was like, oh, and you missed all that, and so to you're just like, yeah, just normal good. Okay, let's briefly leave, let's leave America briefly and just touch on the fact that the Young Bucks wrestled Hiromu Takahashi and Tetsuya Naito at NJPW The New Beginning in Osaka last week, and they lost their beautiful IWGP tag team belts, and they popped their shirts off again, and their bodies looked really, really good. So cute. So cute. So cute and good.
Matt, in particular, was walking, like, he strut across the ring in a very, like, I know you're looking and you're going to like it way. And then Nick, as if, like, he noticed Matt's crazy shirt-taking off technique, had his own this time where he also did, like, he, I think he swung it around and let it, like, I was like, okay, boys, okay.
Feeling yourselves. I like it. I like to see it. I want every man in wrestling to be bringing this energy to it. You know, you're a model. You know what I mean. You do a little turn on the catwalk. really happy. They also did some beautiful, I didn't understand it. Maybe I've forgotten. They did these beautiful cheerleader poses. I didn't know what was going on, but I loved it.
No, it's something to do with Osaka. I don't have all the answers to this, but there's some.
Who among us does?
There's a logo with a man in it, and they were doing the pose of the man, and somehow it was a mascot thing.
That's great. I did just think that it was that they were cheerleaders and I loved it. I was like, that's so cute. You're so cute.
After the match, they did like a little after, I don't know, press conference thing that
they went to the room.
It wasn't a press conference,
the NJPW, the famous NJPW, it was the wall. Room.
Right. Yeah, it was the that wall that I'm very familiar with. Where first of all, Matt starts it off by being like, that was humbling. I'm humbled. Which I fucking lost it about. It was like the funniest vibe ever.
Honestly, it's like that was the delivery of a man who, due to not being on TV, so it's your own fault, hasn't received a Mommy's Little Ham Award in months and craves it. Well, Mr. Jackson, you may have it. You were absolutely hammed out, and so is your brother. Actually, you can split the award this week.
Yeah.
Ham City, baby.
They have to come home. I know that they are happier than they've ever been. I'm looking at these men, and they are emotionally and professionally fulfilled by what's happening to them in Japan. I don't care. They have to come home. Be miserable with the rest of us at home.
Come back here and you suffer. You suffer with us, you, because that's what families back. Do.
Yeah, we all want to go to Japan right now. We can't. We're home.
We'd all love to be in Japan. We'd love to be cheerleaders in Japan, but we can't. We just have to be downtrodden people in America, okay? You don't get to be a funny VP anymore. You don't get to be a beautiful boy cheerleader. You're just going to come be sad, and you'll like it.
And you better. And that better happen quick. I hope that the future people that are listening to us are like, girls, calm down. They returned to Australia. Yeah, they better they better have. Because I can't, I've had enough.
I hope so. And I do hope, I'm like, they should, because you're in Japan. Go to Australia. It's a beautiful country. You guys love to travel. Matt, you just started that travel blog. Matt and Dana have their travel blog now. It's like, yeah, go to Australia and go to Collision. And then come home.
And then come home.
Okay. So that'll be really nice for everyone. And if you don't, until you come home back to TV, you will not receive your Mommy's Little Ham Award in the mail. I am holding it hostage.
They only go to Jacksonville. We're not mailing it to Osaka.
What are we going
to
do? Paper postage to Japan in this economy?
I don't think so. Probably a tariff on that. So come home and then you can have your award. And I did just remember in the middle of this segment, Mommy's Little Ham Award, one hand. Our other new favorite thing, Pig City. Pig ham. Is there something we could do here? Could we, is there something, the awards live in Pig City or something? I'm just saying, let's play with that. Let's put it on the table.
Like the Mommy's Little Ham Award presented by Pig City kind of thing?
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes.
So t-shirt. Okay.
Kind of the Phil's Tire Town of the Mommy Little Ham Awards. Perfect. Okay. That's great. Thank you for that, Saul Van. And we'll do nothing with that, probably. But please come home to get your reward. I don't know that we need to talk about any of... Oh, God, I've lost my place. I don't know that we need to talk about this. Buddy and Okada, Buddy Murphy,
and Okada had a sit down on Collision. Okada showed up late and made a PA go get him water, and then Buddy Murphy yelled at him, and then
Matthews. She hates Buddy so much. She can't hold on to a single fact about him.
Well, she's a huge WWE fan now. That's so right. Of That's course right. She calls him Buddy Murphy.
Oh my God.
She's watched so much WWE, it's hard for her to remember. Yeah.
I guess like he'll always be Buddy Murphy to me. In a way he will be, because I think people have missaid it many times at AEW. Yeah. So it's like it's kind of on all of you. Whatever, they just had a sit down, and I don't know why I even said this. We don't need to know about it. There were also two, unless you wanted to say something, either you have something to say about Buddy, and be careful. You know I don't want to hear it.
I do have one thing. Do you think Okada is mad at Dustin Rhodes for stealing his bitch catchphrase, which Dustin Rhodes keeps saying, and I don't like?
It made me wonder, I think Renee was there during one of the Dustin Rhodes promos when he said it, and she was kind of cracking up afterwards, and I thought, like, I guess you're popping the boys back here. Like, Okada's bitch bit is so over that you're all popping each other by doing it extra, but it, unfortunately, when a man says it too loud and angry, I don't like that. I feel repulsion. Mm-hmm. So, but I guess if you're popping each other in the locker room, I was told by the Young Bucks that that's the most important thing, and I trust them. So that's what matters. There were two Callis family segments also on Collision. In one, Kyle Fletcher had the whole like family except for Takeshita gathered around him, and he was saying something that I don't remember. And Mark Davis was just kept looking up at the sky like he was in a Backstreet Boys photo shoot. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just like. What are my orders from God about music? God, I want to make these girls happy. Like, what should I, you know? Anyway, and then there was another promo where, or backstage segment, where Brian Cage was lecturing Mark Davis and being like, in the Callis family, we do senseless violence on poor idiots who happen to be standing around backstage, and you'll do it too, or you'll be sorry. And then Mark Davis, like, did it not too unhappily. Like, kind of medium. He didn't look like he was apologizing to the people he was doing violence to. Let's put it that way.
I know. It's like they're trying a little bit, but, like, no one seems quite on the same page about what's happening to Mark Davis, least of all Mark Davis. So we need to get it together here, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The messaging does feel a little mixed. Muddled.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still have no idea what terms he and Kyle are on.
No,
which is crazy. Kyle wasn't there doing the violence because he was getting ready for his match. So I guess no one was keeping him company while he was getting ready for his match, which is crazy. Go stand next to someone.
A man alone backstage? I'm uncomfortable.
It's not safe. Yeah.
I don't like that. Okay. Harley Cameron did a Collision halftime show in Houston. She wore a huge, like, furry pink stole and a baby carrier on her back that had puppet Mercedes in it. And she sang a little song about Mercedes called The Money Train. And The Money Train. Whatever. She said whatever. And then Mercedes came out, and they kind of got into it, like, Mercedes did just kind of some of her usual, you know, shtick. And then Harley sang another song, and Mercedes did some elite face acting. Did you guys see this? Mm-hmm. She was just like, she just kept saying, like, I'm not scared. And then being like, but I can kind of get into it a little bit. It was pretty fun. And then, anyway, they had it back and forth, and then Mercedes slapped her, and they are going to fight at Collision Brisbane Australia Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm. They popped a big number, apparently, in the rating, and everybody, even the men, were raving about this as well, which I love to see, but was mildly confused by. It's like, oh, you guys like fun all of a sudden? How about that?
Oh, yeah. Very, very interesting.
I've been laughing about how many people are like, should Harley Cameron win the TBS title?
I know. They're like, is Harley Cameron the world champ? Like, yeah.
I think she could hold it.
I mean, she has been doing an amazing job. She has been she's been so fun. It's so fun. It's so high energy. She did like another musical number with the puppet for Dynamite,
which was also very fun, although I think the mixing was a little weird. Was it weird for you guys too, or was it just my TV? I couldn't make out a lot of the lyrics.
No, I think it might have been your TV, because I definitely could hear it.
I'm glad to hear that, because I was like, this is weird that it went out this way, I think. But yeah, it's just been, I think that they've been really good for each other.
I think they've been really good for, yeah. Like, I think, like, Harley has really, because she really needed to hit the exact right tone for her, like, absurdity to work, and she hit it. Like, she's nailing it. And it turns out Mercedes really needed someone like this to play off of, because she's funnier and more endearing than I think she's ever been. Like, this is really working for her as well.
I know. It's like you need something to take the edge off. I don't know what her deal is, but she does love to repeat lines a lot. And sometimes I'm like, I think for it's comedic effect that it's like kind of stilted and weird because you are a heel. You know what I mean? But then other times I'm like, well, it's less clearly for comedic effect or like meant to be doing something. And it's more just like, maybe try a different line. Maybe not this one again. But in this case, it's like it is working really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody clearly loves the puppet so much, which is very cute. There's been a lot of social media stuff, which is fun.
It is a very cool, you know, it's a real little Muppet puppet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a cutie. And she's good at ventriloquism.
She's really good at ventriloquism.
Startlingly good, which is a weird skill to cultivate because no one really wants to see it usually. But in this context, it's perfect.
I know. I only associate it with that horrible comedian, Dane Cook. Is that the right one? Who was the ventriloquist comedian? And my high school journalism teacher was really into him, and she got me like his CD once because I used to edit her articles for the Delaware News Journal for her.
It was a present. Ventriloquism?
Maybe it wasn't Dane Cook.
It's not Dane Cook. Is it Jeff Dunham?
Yes, Jeff Dunham. Yeah. I didn't like him.
I Googled Dane Cook ventriloquist, and it was do you mean Jeff Dunham? I probably.
I was like, I don't think Dane Cook is that talented.
Yeah, no.
And then Jeff Dunham was either in 30 Rock or that character in 30 Rock was based on Jeff Dunham.
Looking at his picture, he was in 30 Rock,
Right. I think he kind of played himself.
Mm.
And I didn't like him. But it was a really funny episode, so check that out for sure. All right. Just a couple little flash topics before we hop on out here. Did you guys see that FTR video package on Collision?
Yeah, I fucking hated it.
Ugh. I fear and loathing in Las Vegas is what I've written here. I'm scared that they got this package in which they said they wanted to send a message to the current AEW tag team champs about how FTR need to hold the tag team titles for a third time to prove that they're the best to ever do it. I'm scared that they might get a push and get the belts again. And I hate that they might get the belts again.
I am also worried about this because I'm like, okay, everybody loves the Hurt Business, but I don't, they're nothing to me. But I don't actively dislike them either. Like to me right now, I watch them and I say, I wish there was something I could grab onto here, but I'm not angry that you're in front of me. If they go into an endless feud with FTR, they are going to trigger anger in me because I know that FTR cannot bring what I want out of them. Like
people to put together.
Yes. You know. Like they're not going to encourage personality. They're not going to encourage anything strange or interesting or wild. It's just going to be, like Dax yelling about like his wife and God and country and MVP being like, shut up, I'll hurt you. And that's going to be the next 6 months of our lives.
I know. AEW just released a bunch of dead weight. Could we look at FTR? Get them out of here too.
God, I wish. God, I wish. I wish they'd jumped ship. I wish they had jumped ship. Okay.
I know.
I wish they'd left.
Maybe after Mania season.
I think we got stuck with them for a long time. When did they resign?
I don't know.
You know what? I think I'm just going to, like Mark Davis, I'm just going to look to the skies in prayer. And I'm going to say, please let this be nothing. Anyone can do a little video package. It doesn't have to mean anything. Mm-hmm. Okay? And Tony, I just want to tell you, like, if you do this to me,
I don't know that it will be possible for me to turn off SVU and turn on wrestling. Okay. I don't
know.
You've
got a lot of inertia to overcome. Drag out of SVU.
For all that's going right, that is something that would be so wrong that I would look down at my darning and pretend I didn't see that it was 7 o'clock in time for wrestling. And my friends might message me and say, Allie, where are you? You're not watching with us? And I pretend I can't see. I'm watching SVU forever. I'm never watching forever. Wrestling again. So I don't know. Just keep that in mind, Tony. Hologram isn't two men. That's the whole segment. I just got really confused. Did you guys watch the hologram segment?
No, but I just read this paragraph where you're like, why is hologram two men now? Oh, never mind.
It was confusing because they were like, hologram, like, upload completed, upgrade completed. And then they had these cool lights for his match, and he came out. But then there was another man, and the colors of his gear looked the same, and he also had a mask on. But, like, they looked inverted under the lights, and I was like, hologram is two men. Upgrade completed.
He spawned into two.
But it was Commander. It was actually Commander. And then when the lights went back to normal, it was really clear that their gear wasn't the same color.
Wow. They really need to figure out how to make the luchadors have, like, stories and personality in a way that can grab me better than they have done this whole time.
I would do a little more of it, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, you could just start now. Yeah. Just start now. It's never too late.
No time like the present.
Nope. Bandido fought Brian Keith on Collision and won. And he'd been out for 2 years. Did you guys realize that?
No. If you had asked me, I would have said that Bandido joined AEW maybe 8 months ago and has been out for six. That's what I would have thought.
Anyway, he beat Brian Keith, and then on Dynamite, Chris Jericho came out with Brian Keith and was like, I guess I have to do everything myself around here. Brian, pay close attention, because now I'm going to beat Bandido, and you'll see how it's done. And so then he went in the ring, and he and Bandido did, like, this, like, Wild West face-off, and they stood back-to-back, and the lights went blue, and they were in a spotlight. No one is giving me, like, a look like they're excited. Like, I'm like, do you guys remember this? I fucking loved it. I thought it was so fun.
It was fun. I liked the lighting.
It was very fun.
Yeah, guys. It was, like, two levels of fun above where your voices are at. Like, it was, like, really fun.
And then Jericho was wearing a cowboy hat. Loved it.
He's wearing a cowboy hat. He was looking pretty good again. Listen, I'd rather have New York tomboy Christy Thomas back, but this is okay. And I don't remember what happened here. I don't know. Oh, they didn't really start the match, I guess. Like, they didn't really have a match because Brian Keith interfered, and then the Outrunners, for some reason, came out to save Bandido, and then Big Bill came out to unsave Bandido, and then Will Hobbs came out to, I've written here, engage in meat eroticism with Big Bill, and they did that. And that might have been the end of the segment, or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of think they just stared at each other. It was a little bit muddled as a segment. Like, I watched it twice, and I was still like, I don't quite know what happened here, but...
Big Bill laid out in the ring was very funny, though, because he took up so much space with all his limbs.
Yeah. He's the whole ring.
Very
big. Too much man, you might say.
Too much man. Maybe some might say just enough man, you know? Mm. And aren't we all? And then did anyone think of any reason that I would have put a segment in here for the patriarchy?
No, but Samoa Joe gave a promo in the ring where he said that he and Hook, their thing is that they love violence. And it's like, bro, we've got too many of those already. Like, that can't be your whole
That's
thing.
All of you.
Yeah. I feel like people keep, it's like I'm a showrunner and I'm like, okay, like, pitch me a character to be on the TV show. And they're like, okay, so they're a high schooler. They go to class, they get grades, they're between the ages of 14 and 18. It's just pretty much a classic high schooler. And you're like, okay, well, on some shows that could be a starting point, but this show is set in a high school, so it's not really distinctive. Kind of need a little more than that.
Yeah. It's a little like a bad season of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, where mm-hmm. you're like, we've got 10 contestants who are trying to do the same thing, okay? We only need one. And then we need 9 different types of contestants.
Mm-hmm. So. This was also the promo in which, and I still don't know why you did, you typed, did Christian, did Samoa Joe call somebody out from the Alps? And I was like, I mean, I think you just called out Christian Gage.
I just couldn't, I don't know what was happening. I could, maybe my TV is fucked up. I couldn't hear lots of things.
Oh, it was a sound thing.
It was a sound thing. I thought he said, I was really confused because I thought he said, like, you can fight me if you come back from the Alps. I was like, who is there? That's not where Darby is unless he's practicing mountaineering. Well, I didn't know why Darby would be involved, but he's the only man that I know might be on a mountain. And the Alps are mountains. So. I was just associating. Maybe he's practicing climbing a mountain and they want to fight Darby for some reason. It turns out that the Alps may have had nothing to do with it. And in fact, probably didn't. He probably didn't bring them up at all. The end. And I think the end of our schedule. Was there anything you wanted to discuss that I didn't give you a chance to discuss?
Do you think that Dustin is going to be in all of the security guard segments now?
Yeah. Oh,
God, that'd be a beautiful and probably world.
Okay, what if he, here's some ideas. One, we're always saying the security guards should unionize. What if Dustin becomes the instigator of the unionization? Oh, yeah. Like, it's like, you, we just get some segments where they're just going backstage and he's like, don't you guys think it's, like, fucked up?
They shouldn't treat you like this.
Yeah, just like, throw us around? Orange Cassidy walks up to him and he's like, hey, man, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, I'll talk to you in a minute.
Maybe Dustin's like, I can't talk to you right now. You're on the other side. And Orange Cassidy's like, what does that mean?
Orange Cassidy's like, I've never thrown around a security guard. He's like, you could. You could.
I see it in your eyes. I know that you would. That's great. That's a good, this is like a little like, It's Always Sunny episode of AEW TV. It's like, Dustin's just
our
like
sitcom
really,
that tours with AEW. Yeah.
Exactly. He's just gotten up sense. On a, like a really crazy soapbox. And the other version of it that you could do though, is that you could do this, we're in sitcom world. The other version you could do is that there's actually another plot going on, but it's like when Abed helped deliver the baby. And so in the background the entire time, you're just like, what's going on with Dustin back there?
You just keep seeing him, like, wave his arms around a lot, and everyone's getting really worked up. And
that would be amazing, because, like, I could see, like, Dave Meltzer's entire, like, podcasting episode is about, like, what's going on in the title scene. We've seen none of it, because we're focused on, like, over Moxley's shoulder, in which Dustin's delivering a baby. And so
I keep saying, like, obviously the A story of AEW right now is whatever's going on with Dustin back there, and we have a list full of clues that we're using to try and put together what we think it is.
The amount of enrichment that would give us, I think we deserve it.
We need it really, really bad. Really, really, really bad. I hope he always comes out with security. I hope that he got his surgery. I hope he feels good in his body and his mind. I hope that somebody helps him buy clothes that fit right the whole way on his body, not the one too big, one too small. I hope that he's loved. I hope he's happy. I hope he's eating well. I hope he's not too cold.
You hate this segment so much. Dustin, if you're listening, put a coat on. It's pretty chilly out there.
Button up your overcoat. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me.
Yeah. I hope he enjoyed his Super Bowl team winning. That was big for him.
Oh, yeah. The Eagles very won. Big. Yeah. That's so nice. I hope that really made you happy. And I hope it made you think, like, I want to do a sport again. Yeah. I'd love to be in a sport again. Wow, I better
be on TV doing athletic feats of prowess.
Maybe he did. He came right out on TV, so.
That's true. Maybe it did inspire him.
Putting the pieces together. Dustin, call your moms, as always. Just call your moms, okay? We love you. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah. I remembered that time.
Good job, Leah. Good job.
Amazing work from Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on our feed. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great podcasts. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we're hanging around and cornholing pretty regularly. You can do something else. Fuck, I forgot it. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please come back next week.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.